tells you. All right. Good morning, everybody. It is Friday. Woo-hoo! You made it to the end of the week. And Simpiwe and I are here to look after you this morning. Ben will be joining us shortly. We have loads of things to talk about, to catch up on, to get to. I hope you're having a good start to your day. Simpiwe was just saying now, we usually complain that the studio is freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the aircon is always on for the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it is so cold outside that it is colder than it is here.
Yeah, like it feels. The studio feels warm today. I could take off my scarf. I could just chill in a tank top, and I'm like outside.
That's how you know when the aircon's set to the coldest temperature, and it's still warmer than outside. All right, so we've got the weekend ahead of us. It's a long weekend. Remember, Monday is a public holiday.
Really?
That's good news.
You just reminded me.
Bonus. I know. When you forget these things and someone tells you, you're like, oh, yay. Because most people don't think about it and don't plan it. Because the 16th Youth Day is on Sunday. And because it's a Sunday, we get the bonus Monday.
So isn't also don't pitch Father's for work. Day?
It's Father's Day as well. Yeah. But that's no holiday, trust me. If that was a holiday, there'd be a whole lot of people who couldn't celebrate it. Let's just... there are lots of men in this country who should shut up and just run and hide on Father's Day. It's interesting when you get like this bonus holiday because it doesn't really make sense. I mean, like you... They won't give us... If the public holiday is on a Saturday, you don't get an extra day.
Yeah.
Now, to me, losing a Saturday is way, way bigger a deal than losing a Sunday.
Yeah, I guess.
Stupid. Eh? So next week, we're going to have 4-day week. Don't pitch up at work on Monday. You will be the only one. Unless, of course, you're one of those professions where you have to pitch and they don't give a damn.
Rather you than me, eh?
There are those ones.
Rather you than me.
No, there are those ones. So what do we got? What do we got planned for the weekend?
I did not know it was a long weekend.
She really didn't. We've caught you completely off guard.
So that changes everything. I'm like, girls, let's go out. Let's do something. Because all I wanted to do is just chill. It's very nippy now. So, yeah, I just want to be indoors, catching up on some old movies. I'm not even watching new stuff. Like, don't ask me what's trending.
Stuff. No, old stuff.
Old good movies. I'm like, I know the lines and I'm like, I'll be back.
I like the hat.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be warm. You have to be
cool to wear a hat like that. If I wore that, I'd look so stupid. So stupid. I'm not a hat guy.
Like you have to do the gang signs as well.
Remember we were talking the other day about balding, right? And like if I were bald, I'd just be the ugliest bald guy ever because I think I have a weird shaped head. But the same goes for hats. Like I'm not one of those people who can pull off a hat.
And you know there's people that can only pull off a hat and then once they take it off, it's just
they look weird. But I have a little bit of envy, not a lot because it's not a big deal in my life, but a little bit of envy for people who can wear a hat with confidence. I never feel, even with just like a cap.
Really?
Yeah, I can't do it, hey? Like I feel it's not my thing. So I don't do it. You will hardly ever see me in a hat, ever. I think there are like 3 pictures in the whole universe of me in a hat.
Sure.
It's probably a good thing. So someone says here, Ricky says today is a very big day in South Africa. Why?
Does this have to do with government?
It does have to do with government. Ricky has high hopes today for a government of national unity.
Mm.
And I'll just give you what I know, because then you won't bug me for the rest of the show. So all I know is that the IFP had a press conference 2 days ago. And they announced that they are part of the government of national unity.
Yes, they did.
They pretty much said they're in talks with the ANC, the DA, the NFP in KZN, so that they can take government of KZN away from MK, which is a big deal. And they admit something else, which I thought was fascinating. They said they organized a meeting with MK.
Mm-hmm.
They waited for 2 hours. MK didn't pitch. Then, just before 2 hours was up, someone phoned and said, no, we're coming. So, Hlengwa, who's the guy we had on our show not so long ago, he waited another 2 hours and they didn't pitch.
Guys,
so
definition of ghosting.
Like this, but this is not a serious bunch of people. I mean, I know they got 14% of the vote, but you know, that still, there could be at least 14% of the country is really stupid. So I'm willing to accept that this is not a serious party. I don't think they should be taken seriously. If the IFP waited for essentially 4 hours and they never arrived, when they said they were going to arrive and phoned in the middle of that delay of 4 hours and said, no, we're still coming, and they didn't pitch. Like, if someone did that to me, and I'm not special, right? I'm not like a king or a pope or a president. I'm not busy deciding the future of a country here. Like, what did they have that was more important? Did the screen of Duduzile's phone crack? Because she seems to run the whole fucking party from that thing. Like, what could be more important than meeting with the people who you're going to run KZN with? So I don't think these people care about KZN, just based on their actions of not even pitching for a meeting. Because if it was them and the IFP, I think they've got enough, right?
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
so have majority.
So they're not serious. They don't want to govern. This is just a retirement plan for Ubaba. And all the people who are around him, attached to him, his network of patronage, to get into the coffers of government. That's clearly what's going on here. I don't think that that's an unkind thing to say. And anyone who wants to defend them, you go ahead. But I do not think that these are serious people. If you don't pitch for me for 15 minutes, then I'm going to be phoning you saying, hey, are you still coming? An hour, I've written you off.
And then
4 hours. I'm like, I never want to see you again. Ever. I'll never wait for 4 hours for anybody. Nobody.
That's disrespect at its peak. But also, like, just seeing how they have been the biggest winners in this entire thing, and they're acting like a bunch of losers. They're acting like they didn't get votes. They're acting like things didn't go their way.
No,
and
exactly.
It's like, I don't understand why we're behaving like this. Why are you guys acting like this? You guys really do have the power to change things. And they're just like, well, we're not going to pitch up. We're not going to pitch up to Parliament.
That is such
we're not
a good
pitch
point.
Up to this.
Like,
we're not going to do this.
It's like you don't know how to win. You know, it's like you're so used to being losers and you're so used to being victims that you don't know that it's possible. And when winning comes your way, like 14% is not bad.
The Especially EFF, for the first time.
You're the third biggest party in the country. Out of nowhere. A couple of months. Guys, learn to win and learn to manage yourselves. I mean, you know the inside track here, and I don't expect you to spoil any like stories while they're still going on, or if you're still trying to talk to people. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to get into trouble. But one of the things we wanted to do when we started The Real Network is we were pushing really hard to get an interview with Warris and PH and Jacob Zuma.
Yes.
And we knew he was the most interesting politician in the country, even while other people were throwing him aside, casting shade, dismissing him. We said, no, we'd like to talk to him. Did they give us the runaround? And we had weeks. That was in the beginning of March. And we started talking to them in February already. Not one thing materialized. Eventually, we had to settle for Duduzile. She was a great interview, and I think it went really well. And the numbers on there are impressive. People obviously enjoyed it. But the fact that they couldn't land us this interview, I mean, Warris had to go to the house 3 times.
Yes, we've even met him, but like
everything.
It just
didn't happen.
So I guess we didn't, fortunately, I guess for us, we didn't have to wait for 4 hours.
Yeah, well.
It didn't happen. And I guess this is a pattern of theirs. You know? Yeah, they say one thing and then they do something
people
else.
People who have disorganized, untidy houses are untidy, disorganized people. People who, and I don't buy that shit that people who have a desk full of papers and stuff, that they are the people who really get things done. You want things done? Ask a busy person. You want things sorted out? Ask an organized person. If someone is surrounded by chaos, they have a chaotic mind. You can't work with people like that. They change their mind like that. They're unstable. They probably have a mental illness of some kind. And you can't be friends with people like that. Certainly can't work with them. Yeah. They're going to steal your stuff.
Or things slip through the cracks.
Things slip through the cracks.
There's a lot of those things that tend to slip after some time. And then there's a river.
Bitcoin Boot says, Gareth, did you want to interview Zuma? I've met him a couple of times. And I do find him fascinating. And I don't think you should underestimate the man. But I think he's also very old now. He's 82. I think he's being stage managed. He doesn't look as well as he has before, especially on the night the election results were announced. They were showing visuals of him, and he looked bad. He looked old. He looked tired. He looked sick. I'm not saying that that's true, that that's like he's on his way to the grave or anything, but I think the best of him is spent, and the guy's had a tough time. I mean, you can acknowledge he's a, you know, he's not a great guy, and his story will be written in South Africa's story as being a particularly odious one. But you can still have sympathy for someone, even if they did bad things. Like, you can look at somebody and say, and we discussed this with Kevin Spacey on Wednesday. Like, you can look at Jacob Zuma and say, this guy's been through the ringer. I mean, everything they could throw him at it, they threw at him. Mm-hmm. And I've said repeatedly on this show, he is a scapegoat for so many other people who got off scot-free.
Yes.
And he's a useful person to blame, right? Because you blame him and then all the other crooks can hide. And they are. We know that they are. So I would interview him. I've met him, as I said a few times, he's always been extremely charming. He is. People love him. When they meet him, they always say, what an absolutely amazing guy. You know, he talks to you like a friend. His body language is friendly. He's not aggressive. He's kind. He's got a sense of humor. All of those things are true. That doesn't necessarily make him a villain or a hero. But I introduced him at the opening of the Mandela Center of Remembrance at the Nelson Mandela Foundation once. And he's amiable. I mean, you can joke about him in front of him and he laughs, you know? So I don't know if I need to get closer than that. I think I'm happy with what we've had. I'm happy with the country having had the experience of him that we've had. I don't think we need to repeat that necessarily. I'm not saying he is better or worse than Cyril, because Cyril's a bit of a disaster.
You mean Cupcake? I don't address him by his name anymore.
Cupcake.
And that says a lot.
Yeah. True, Zuma was a useful idiot to the bigger crooks. Yeah. And he's not an idiot. I mean, like, people think he's stupid, right? Because they play these clips of him with numbers and shit. But the guy is politically very, very astute. Even now, I'd say yes. He's got a better grip on. Look, he by sheer force of personality, don't tell me it was because they were campaigning hard or they had good posters or anything else. That was all pure Jacob Zuma reputation.
Yes. And I don't even think they have a manifesto.
They don't have plans. They can't come to meetings. The rest of that party is a disaster. Everything they got because Jacob Zuma is a personality of immense impact in South Africa. So, you know, don't give me like, oh, we need MK. MK is an important force. No, Jacob Zuma is an important force. If he'd called his party the something something, you know, like when he talks to that journalist, the something something, the political something something, they would have still voted for him. Yeah. So I love this. I mean, you got all these journalists who are like trying to figure out what's happened and blah, blah, blah. That is enough politics, though, morning. It is Friday, and we're not going to go into too much of that. I do want you to see, just quickly, our Nyope mayor in Johannesburg.
What did he do now?
Show
what
them the picture
he do
of him.
Now? What?
Well, okay, so they fired the mayor in Etekwini, but here's our mayor of Joburg. Look at him. Doesn't that look like someone who's like, hey, dude, where can I get a bag? Right? Doesn't he?
Oh, he looks like those guys. No offense.
You can say offense. Because what's happened to the city you live in?
The guys with the robots that are about to like either ask to wash your car or like for bread. He looks like he's gonna come and approach you and just ask for something and you just like ang namal. Sorry.
And if you don't talk to him, he's gonna get like aggressive.
Yeah, like he just looks like he's I don't know. He doesn't look like a mayor. He doesn't look like someone I'll take seriously, whatever he says. He just looks like, even just, looks wasted. Like, and I mean wasted in terms of he's done as a person.
Well, he better watch out because the ANC recalled the mayor of Etekwini, who's been useless as well, Kaunda. Mm. And they look like they might be recalling this guy today as well. So, you know what? Exciting times. Politics, it's all happening today. Parliament will be assembled for the first time and they will vote for a president. Then that president has to be inaugurated and then the work of Parliament really begins.
Republicans.
Let's see what happens. Bitcoin Boot says, I just want to apologize for if I upset you with my Gayton and PA coloured only vote yesterday upset me. I don't even remember it. So no, you didn't upset me. Please don't worry about my feelings. Those which I have, I can last recall from the 90s. And since then, not really. So please don't worry about my feelings. I don't. Mapelo says to me, he looks like a subsistence farmer who takes himself very seriously.
That's not what we need for a mayor, mayor.
Yeah, there's some cuck people being fired. JP, you're quite right. You love to see it. Everybody loves to see it. It's good. We don't want shitty people. It's like if you work for a shitty boss, you work for a really mean, nasty, shitty boss who doesn't know what they're doing. When they get fired by their boss, you go,
yes.
Right?
You just like...
Oh, of course.
Drinks on me, guys.
Right.
I'm kidding. First round.
when someone in the family gets put in their place at like the Christmas lunch, everybody goes, yes.
It's about time.
We don't lie. And we've got so many crappy, incompetent, mediocre people in positions of power all over this country. In fact, in the world. It's not just South Africa. Mm. That when we see them getting knocked down, we're like, yes. So let's enjoy it while it happens. Please. There's no need for us to worry about these people. I mean, is anybody concerned that Claudia Motsoeneng has no money anymore? No, because he deserved never to have money. Some people are never going to get money. Carl says, Gareth, another nice jacket. Have you befriended a homosexual who's helping you getting dressed in the morning? No. I have nice clothes, all right? I just don't. I don't get dressed up every day. I don't have to. I don't sit in meetings and wear a tie. But thank you. I mean, I love the fact that I couldn't possibly dress myself. I have to have like some gay guy sitting hidden away, going, "Let
yes,
me help
darling.
You. Let me tell you what to wear." Yeah, because I dress so badly, huh? Thanks. Son of a bitch. Thank you. And someone called it the Tubbo Bester.
Yeah.
Does he have one of these?
Yes, because when he did his monologue.
Did you hear he asked for the death penalty, hey?
And people are like, yeah, let's sign, guys. Where's the petition? Yeah.
I love South Africa. The guy's like, this is a cry for help. He's like, I'm so broken. Just give me the death penalty.
And he says like, to the let's
judge.
Go.
He says to the judge, please, I've had enough. This is torture. Just give me the death penalty. And South Africa Online is like,
let's go. Let's sign. Where do I sign out?
Horrible people.
Don't do that, guys. Don't ever, like, inside out. Don't ever put anything about distress out there to the media, about you saying, if you think I'm guilty, then sign this. People will sign. Whether you're innocent or not, people will sign. People will be like, oh, okay, this is my sign to just play my part and make sure someone either gets or someone gets put away in jail. So
Claudine is woken up with a big spring in her step this morning. I love this. She says, I feel it's time to build, grow, and create jobs, or teach people to create. It's time. All the folks doing bad and corrupt things breaking down. Yeah, Claudine. She should be in the parliamentary cheerleading team. Imagine if she walked down there with pom poms. She was like, PARLIAMENT.
Go South Africa.
That's great. And Busset Sana brings up an interesting story in the news this morning. I saw this last night, actually. Apparently, MultiChoice are insolvent, technically insolvent.
4.1 billion.
4.1 billion rand they lost in 1 year. I mean,
imagine.
Okay, I wonder how that happened. Seriously, like, let's just look at this. Okay, so they're part of a stable. NASPAS is their big funder, and NASPAS has WeChat in China and a number of other massive investments. It's a hugely profitable company. They've done very well. Their biggest albatross is MultiChoice.
Yes.
And part of the reason MultiChoice has failed, and I know a little bit about it because, 6-8 years ago, I was still on their most successful show. We were selling advertising like hotcakes. It was a major success. They were doing well. Seems they hired a lot of really shitty people to run things. And they did a lot of window dressing. And they did a lot of DEI. And, you know, they say go woke, go broke. Well, I think that's happened too. Also, wasn't that the company that was making a big fuss about how they were empowering you know, black people in South Africa by giving them shares, but they still made the black people buy the shares. You're like, I always thought that was a big scam, but you know what? I don't know. All I know is I'm looking at the balance sheet now, and I'm saying, oh, good, this couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. So there we go. Multi-choice flailing. And also, apparently, the CEO is married to Gwede's daughter. So there's another reason that they'll probably be failing. You know what?
They should have led with that. Then yeah. We were going to be like, we understand, we know.
Yep. There are a bunch of sayings that are coming to my head right now that wouldn't be appropriate for me to say. But I don't know. I remember that company, like, trying to fire me from their TV show, me beating them in court, and them having to pay. And maybe that's the reason they broke.
Hey, man.
They had to pay those lawyers still. But, you know, there's like a huge amount of arrogance in those big corporations in South Africa. It's not just multi-choice. It's a whole lot of these corporations, the big insurance companies. You know, there are lots of people who in South Africa, they walk this talk, and you can see it with tenderpreneurs, but they're the obvious ones, right? Also, there are lots of people who've been in corporate South Africa for 30 years. They've had jobs, made jobs, done all kinds of things. Some of the stuff they've done has been good. I don't doubt that for a second. But you can see there's this swagger. It's like, I'm untouchable. I know how things work.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are getting their asses handed to them because things change and they don't.
Yes.
And then they fall under the train. So, too bad, guys. You know what? You clearly didn't understand media the way that you thought you did. But good luck. I don't want to see anybody fail. I don't want to see anyone lose their jobs. I want this country to be successful. But if you're going to make bad decisions, bad things will happen, and you will deserve them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's the latest news on multi-choice. Also interesting. Ruth says, for the first time, Pick n Pay has become technically insolvent. Total liabilities exceed total assets by $183 million. Even more concerning is that its interest-bearing debt rose by $5.7 billion. What you've also got to remember is that we're in a country at the moment where a lot of people just do not have money.
Yes.
You know, the debts that most people owe are greater than all of their assets.
Yes.
Which means technically, as a country, we're insolvent.
Yes.
Not just because the government has spent more than it can and we are currently unsustainable on that front, but also because people do that. You know, people live beyond their means.
Yes.
They're living on credit cards. They're living on all sorts of stuff. So you've got to be aware of that stuff.
Yeah, but it's also because they're not earning enough. I mean, inflation is at an all-time high. Things keep going up and up and up and up and up. And let's not forget that you need 45,000 rand in South Africa just to survive. And a lot of people ain't earning that. So that plays a part. But it's not just going to be Pick n Pay that's going to be feeling it. There has been like a report that's come out that more and more people are not paying their debts. So there's going to be more companies actually coming out to say.
Well, you know how you can tell? Try and get a loan from the bank.
Yeah.
You try and get a loan from the bank now. If you try and get a home loan, a car loan, any kind of loan, they check you out and they're like, oh, sorry. No, yeah. We can't. You're like, but. I'm not, like, underwater.
Mm.
They're like, no, sorry, we can't help you.
So.
They do this. They go. And ask your bank. Just say to them, like, next time you speak to anyone at the bank, like, how's it going? You know, how's South Africa's economy looking from your side? That's what they'll do.
Yep.
Common Sense says, apparently Westpac Lifestyle is also under business rescue. Yeah. Please not them. And I'm with that Don Kidder in the comments. I love that shop. You know I love that shop, right?
Yes, we
all
do.
Oh, my God, I love going there. I buy containers. I don't even have things to put in the containers. Yes. I just love having them.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like, okay, so if I ever go bankrupt, you will find me at Westpac because that's where they'll arrest me. You'll find me there. I will have bought a whole bunch of like things with screw-on lids and things with compartments that you put shit in.
And it's all matching. That's what I love about it. So it's all like,
I love it.
I can buy this color
and it's
in
cheap.
This size.
It's not expensive.
Thank you. Yes.
Right.
Yes,
yes, so how can they be in trouble? Again, disorganized people. If you were all more organized, they'd still be in business. Well, they are still in business, but you know. There's a difference between business rescue and going out of business.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. Carl, bringing up the most important thing for this morning, says, I watched Ben's first sports show yesterday. It was great. Yeah, Ben and Sandile did their first ever sports show on the Real Network. It premiered yesterday afternoon to wild applause, and it was already charting when I went to sleep last night. I saw it was on the Apple Sport Podcast chart, making its way all the way to the top. So keep an eye on that show. It's going to go places, and lots of very, very cool things planned in the next few months. We'll get to Ben.
Mm-hmm.
He has some sport for us in a short while. We've got a lot to get to, so maybe we should just look at one or two things in the news quickly.
Yes.
A man called Chris Rowley suffered a broken neck, fractured spine, and other injuries. Do you know how?
How?
He tripped over his cat.
Oh, wow.
Now, he was alone in his house. He was, well, like most cat people are, and was unable to get up for 14 hours. You know, most cat people, no one will visit you in 14 hours. Probably 14's the low end of how many hours you have to spend on your own if you're a cat person. Just saying. And Rowley fell at 10:30 p.m. on Sunday night, wasn't found by his wife.
Took a button out.
But how could she not find him until Monday afternoon?
Whoa.
That's the more interesting story.
This happened during the week. She was gone for 14 hours.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
10:30, he falls over the cat. And again, no one's reporting on how the cat is. His wife only finds out until Monday afternoon.
Where was she? Where did she sleep?
She called emergency service. That's where. Yeah, where's your wife? You see, this is a problem when these stories end up in the news. People have more questions than we deserve answers for.
One plus one is not adding up. Like, where was she?
Shame.
Where does she sleep? Like, what kind of marriage is this?
Let's just head back to this poor man. He had a broken neck. He fractured his spine, and he had other injuries too. He's expected to take 6 to 12 months to recover. Despite the seriousness of his injuries, he does not blame his cat for the accident.
Yeah, blame your wife. Where was she?
Honey, are you not home? Oh, man.
That's
unbelievable. You think that's bad? I once got tripped up by some pussy, cost me a house, says Carl. Yeah, but you didn't hurt yourself. She's guilty, says Linda. Yo, people climb right on, hey? Was the cat on the roof, says Ricky. There's an old joke about that. The wife was searching for her glasses. Oh, you people are mean. Anyway, I once thought about this, right? Like, if I die, how long will it take? And that's one of the reasons we do this show. The maximum amount of time it'll take is between shows. So I'll probably be okay. All right, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
But this is so embarrassing, right? It's like when 9/11 happened, which was obviously a horrible, horrible event, and you know, thousands of people died. But there are all those stories about people who thought their husbands, women who thought their husbands were in the World Trade Center when the plane crashed
in,
frantically phoning, trying to find them. Meanwhile, they're having an affair. They were at some other woman's house. And they're like, oh, no, don't worry, honey, I'm safe.
How?
Yeah, how? You were on the 92nd floor, John.
Like,
listen, when shit like this happens, you gotta make sure you got an alibi. All right, you don't know. And that I often think, like these people who are busy with like a side chick or whatever, and they're driving around late at night, and you could have an accident, right?
Yes.
And then people are going to go, why were you driving around on a Wednesday night at like 1:30? Booty call. But they're going to have to, someone's going to find out. It's going to be, why is this guy 40 kilometers from home on a Wednesday? Right? Nobody thinks about that. You think, oh, I'll just go and get it. I'll just make a booty call quickly. I'll just go down the road here. But it's not down the road. It's 40 Ks away. It's a different city. And then something terrible happens on the way. Everybody's like, I wonder why he was driving there. And then someone starts asking the right questions. You know how it goes.
And then we're all just like,
Yeah.
Because we don't want to say nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Shame. The guy says he's lucky to be alive after his cat crash injury. Yeah, cat crash.
But I'm more interested in the wife. Like, where... Wifey, where were you? Like, what were you doing? Serious questions. Where were you? What were you doing?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
14 hours.
I'm sorry, I don't have any answers.
Did you not call brother? Like, also, I can understand. Maybe you were out with the girls. I don't know. You got too drunk. But you don't
ever... Until Monday afternoon.
But wait. Did you not call at any point to be like,
yo,
babe?
What kind of girls are you out with? What? All your friends strippers? You're out until Monday afternoon. Even strippers take Sunday night off.
I'm just asking. I'm just saying, like... At no point did she try to communicate with her man.
No, tonight we go out properly. We only get home Monday afternoon, 3 o'clock.
All right, Ivanka, I'll meet you outside. Are we taking your car? Yes, drop top. Wow.
No, this wife needs to be investigated. I'm sorry. Yeah, she's the cause of the fall.
There's serious problems in that marriage.
Like.
I don't think that's going to be an easy one to get past for her. She's like, 911, we have an emergency. Yes, ma'am, what is it? Well, my husband seems to have fallen. I don't know what, because the cat's run off by then, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what could have happened. How long do you think he's been there? Oh, I don't know. Like, well, when last did you see him upright? Saturday?
Where were you? You're a married woman. Where were you? Aren't you supposed to be indoors? I guess.
So here's a better way to treat animals that get in your way. A remote Australian community has taken revenge on a massive saltwater crocodile. Apparently, the beast was devouring pets and chasing children. Yo. It would come out of the water and it would just chase these people in Australia. There was this town that was ravaged by this animal. And it would just make an absolute nuisance and menace of itself. It probably took a child or two. Who knows? But these poor Australians, you imagine them... I don't know will we get a sleep well tonight or not, but I hope we'll get a couple of hours of shut eye without that fucking crocodile coming up out of the water trying to eat our children. Fucking Jack Russell went missing last week. I don't know where the Jack Russell is now, but I think it's that fucking crocodile. Anyway, these Australians eventually took their revenge. Do you know how?
How?
They ate it. They cooked it and ate it.
Well, apparently crocodile tastes like chicken, so...
I can tell you it does not. So on Wednesday, the police in the town of Boola, in Australia's Northern Territory, shot the crocodile after deeming it a significant risk to the community. Of course, they had to get health and safety's permission. They were, like, calling for 6 weeks. Can you imagine? Hello? Yeah, it's the mayor of Boola. No, it's still the fucking crocodile. Do we have permission to shoot it yet?
I'm sorry, sir. We've got to check with the health and safety department, and I'm just a little worried. You know, we've got very strict rules about the environment, and everything's about sustainability now. We don't want you just shooting crocs. We've got to check with the mayor of every other surrounding town. Maybe they'd be prepared to take the croc in.
All right. Well, you let me know.
No problem, sir. We'll get back to you.
And of course, government takes a long time, right? So no call. They lose another child, another Jack Russell. Eventually, they're like, we're going to shoot this thing. So they do. Northern Territory police were called in, obviously. Someone heard a shot, and they're like, ooh, we haven't had a shot in Australia since the 1800s. What's happening? So they arrived. They said the predator had been stalking and lunging out of the water at children and adults and had reportedly taken multiple community dogs.
Multiple community dogs.
Yes. There were a lot of dogs that were in the community that were not in the community and were in the stomach of the crocodile. it was prepared for a feast in the traditional manner. So I'm assuming these might have been Aborigines. I don't know if that's the right word for it, but Native Australians, if you'd like me to be more politically correct. So they they called the local children. All the children gathered together. Yay! They shot the crocodile in front of the children. Children were like, yay! And then they gave it a nice braai.
Yay!
They barbecued it. And then the kids got to taste crocodile. You've never had crocodile?
No, but I've heard it tastes like chicken.
Every now and again, you've got to let the crocodile know. You know, you can't just sit back. You've got to braai one every now and again. Maybe there should be an annual thing to mark this day to honor those community dogs.
So what, Crocodile Day?
Yeah, they should just go find the biggest fucking croc where they can find one.
Mm.
And then that is like how you keep the balance.
This one came to them and was pestering them, so I don't blame them.
Because none of his mates were getting bribed, Gareth. You got to keep a balance in this.
Well, they also turned every part of the croc into something edible, including making a crocodile tail soup.
Who got the shoes in the bag?
I don't know. Probably the mayor's wife.
Nice.
I'm not sure. But anyway, a few of the pieces were wrapped in banana leaves and cooked underground in the traditional manner. It was a rather large traditional feast. There were a few full bellies, said Sergeant McBride of the Australian Northern Territory Police. So everything was good at the end.
And what a community builder, right?
I agree.
I mean, these people got out of their houses. They probably put shoes on for the occasion, and everyone had fun.
Everyone wins.
And the crocodile, sure, you don't want to be the guy who slaughters animals, but this is like harmony, right?
I think so. Sometimes, as you say, Ben, you got to put them in their place. Having eaten crocodile once, I can tell you it is revolting.
Oh.
It is not.
Where did you have it, though? Did you have it like a place that might know what to do with a crocodile?
Was it in a stew?
It one of those bachelor parties in Brits?
No, I am willing to accept, Ben, I haven't been to a bachelor's party in Brits. What the fuck is wrong with you?
You were social in your 20s, much like I was.
I did have it in my 20s. All I remember is it tasted to me, and maybe it was prepared badly. I'm willing to accept that someone somewhere in the world has figured out a way to cook crocodile beautifully. Mm-hmm. Maybe these
people
Australian
have to eat them, have to kill them.
So
the Gordon Ramsay of that rural hamlet over there probably does a good job.
I didn't like it. It tasted to me like oily fish.
Yeah, that's how it kind of works out, because ultimately it's chicken that lives in the water, right? So it's going to be a bit oily and...
Oily fish. Not good.
That doesn't sound yummy.
Sam had a crocodile pie once. It tasted like feet. That can't be good.
It's like one of those things, like there's enough good food out there. Yeah.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. I also, contrary to what Ben's saying, I have a hard and fast rule. I do not eat things that can eat me.
Also that.
Because I respect the food pyramid. Remember they taught you about the food pyramid?
Mm-hmm.
That the small crusty things at the bottom get eaten by the bigger crusty things, and those things get eaten by the small mammals and the reptiles, and then those get eaten by the bigger mammals and the bigger reptiles. And so you go up. If something like a crocodile, which is basically been here since before we were.
Mm.
It's been here for like millions of years as opposed to our couple of hundred thousand. And if you get in the jaws of that thing, it's just doing what a crocodile does. But you disrespect the food chain. It's like a sin against nature if you eat the croc instead of having the croc eat you. And something will eat you. That's what will take. Don't I can't prove it. I haven't tested this under laboratory conditions. I think if you eat something that could eat you, you will eventually be eaten. It's like a karma of the eating.
Mm. Look, I also think...
You don't eat lion. You don't eat...
Yeah, but we shouldn't...
eat shark.
There's something about... I always think, like, is our DNA inclined to know what to do with that kind of food as well? Because we've never had crocodile really in our system.
And technically, these people are also eating those community dogs.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's more commonplace.
They had Johnny in their system.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A couple of dingoes.
Yeah, heartwarming story for a Friday. Eh?
That's a nice story. Yeah. You know, we like to bring a bunch of different feelings.
This is better than the wife that left her husband to die.
Yeah, this is what I like about Fridays. I get to like mid-story with you guys. I feel like I'm right a part of it already.
Listen, well done on the first sports show yesterday.
Thank
We've already
much.
Had a couple of comments come in from people who watched it yesterday and loved it. I see it's already charting, which is terrific.
Nice. I'm so excited to have something in my life right now that I'm excited about most things in my life because by design I live a good life. But this thing in particular, this show, and what we can do with this and as a weekly concern, wow. It's great.
That's very good.
It's really, really great.
Well, you're going to have so much winning. You're going to wish that you could just stop winning. It's going to be great.
Winners
tremendous.
Winners never want to stop winning.
It's going to be a year of winning. I'm going to win in November. I'm going to win.
Stop.
I'm telling you, I'm going to win. I got winning coming. It's going to be amazing. We're going to do all the winning. All right.
You're doing great, Ben.
Make South Africa great again. Get Simpiwe one of those hats. All right. Have you got one?
No.
Oh, I must give you one.
Thank you. I'd love that.
Make South Africa Great Again hats. You can find them. We will put a link up on
Make
the
Make crocodiles
the show
food again.
No crocodile food on the show anymore. We've had enough of that. Mm-mm. All right, Ben, take us into the world of sport.
Yes.
Why don't right. you? So here it is. Friday morning, this is the best time for you to get ahead of the game in all the different games. We're going to talk a little bit about T20 cricket, I assume.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Euro, because there was some of that noise on my TV yesterday about the Euro. I watched your sports show, so I found out about URC and US Open. So let's get into it. It's Beyond the Scoreboard with Ben Karpinski. It's powered by Superbets.
All right, let's start with the T20 cricket because you brought it up. Because it sees the Proteas taking on the might of Nepal.
Oh.
So if you're one of those Proteas fans that watches every single game, well, 1:30 a.m. Saturday morning, South Africa will be playing against Nepal.
Bunch of Sherpas.
Sure.
Well, that's what I thought, but these are the sort of lower altitude Nepalese, okay? Because obviously you're not playing cricket too high up.
No, because you'd pass out.
I mean, you know what? Like, Uganda's been in this tournament and they've been dicked every single match.
Shame.
There's been a Papua New Guinea, but the T20 cricket should have that, you know? It's like cricket, of course, is only run by three teams with a couple other handful sprinklings here and there who do well.
And they are India,
Australia and England. So they essentially own cricket, but then it filters down a bit. And this T20 World Cup's been cool like that, you know. Obviously, Canada and America there because, that's the way it's being hosted.
Afghanistan, you know.
Afghanistan.
God bless that country.
Afghanistan are pretty good.
They've got nothing going for them. I mean, that must be, for the people of Afghanistan, that's like driving past our mayor of Johannesburg, the Nyaope mayor, under a bridge. And all he wants is, just something to eat, and you give him Nyaope.
But
look
somehow,
at him. I mean, he'd be thrilled.
But somehow they're like...
but look at that
but
guy.
But it's true. Afghanistan, okay? Now, I mean,
someone like that should be fit to a crocodile, but that's just me.
I mean, are they burling opium poppies? And
yeah, for sure.
They're to clear some fields. And Biden didn't leave them a bowling machine when they evacuated.
No.
So it's not like the recent years they've got any better.
No.
But these oaks are determined, right? And this is a cool thing about sport always. So that's where
and really, it's the only thing that we've ever really, you're allowed to actually root for Afghanistan in. Is the cricket.
Yes.
Because everything else they've done, they're pretty much the bad guys.
And I'm pretty sure that these guys are nice guys. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt here.
Sure.
Because they play cricket, so they've got a spirit and, you know, they've been doing all right. In their group, actually, and this is where I think it gets quite interesting, is that New Zealand, who have been very good in the last few years, because, they've got 20 cricketers, but they all get along and they'll get picked for the same team and it's always the same guys. But they're out. They're in Group C.
They call them the Black Ferns. What do they call them?
Black Caps.
Black Caps.
Yeah. Some of those national teams have very funny black sort of names.
Oh, black caps. Did you see that video, just by the way, while we're talking about New Zealand, about the deaf New Zealand rugby team?
When they do the haka.
That was hilarious.
Yeah,
haka.
I've already seen too many hakas, and now the deaf folks are having a crack too.
You have to watch
it. Wow.
Superior.
You saw it. Now, Superior.
I mean, this. Superior.
That is good entertainment. You need to watch that video. You need to.
Are you guys laughing like this?
She's loving it. Hilarious.
They're just deaf folks having a haka. I mean, the haka's mostly normal anyway.
I don't know
anyway.
What that was, but there was no haka.
Wow.
There was men moving.
She's very politically correct, Asimpiwe. Yeah. Basically, we've pissed off the entire Antipodean world.
Yes, that hemisphere.
Morning.
That's it.
Australia and New Zealand are never going to watch this
never
show
again.
Again.
Well, right. I mean, they've got plenty of time, seeing as after this group stages, they're not going to be in the Super 8. So New Zealand are actually bottom of the group. They're actually below Papua New Guinea right now.
How embarrassing.
Sure. Yeah. Look, these teams can't always be at the top, but of course, because they haven't got all that depth, when their plan A doesn't work out, it's kind of like their rugby.
Yeah.
In the next few years, when their plan A doesn't work out.
It's also because that country is run by Jacinda Ardern.
Not anymore. She was put out to stable.
Yes, she was, but she did run it for long enough, and now we're seeing the after effects of... See, if you let a communist run anything, they ruin it. And that's just proof right there.
So
even a great cricket team can be ruined by communists.
Afghanistan are currently top of Group C with West Indies. So West Indies are playing at home right now, and I think those two... You would have thought New Zealand and Afghanistan would have gone through, but no. Afghanistan, West Indies, those are the two are going to go through there.
Amazing.
Now, in our group, all we had to do was beat Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and just try not to embarrass ourselves against New Zealand. Netherlands. Job done. So now we get to play Nepal. Whether they have a full strength team, who really knows? If you are a Proteas fan, there'll be 10 people watching this. 1:30 in the morning.
Oh.
Yeah. Another group that's quite interesting is the Group A, which is India, USA, Pakistan, Canada, and Ireland. Now, Ireland have been decent in recent years. They're like one of those associate kind of nations. They come through. But no, they're shit. They've bottom of the log, 0 points. But they are playing USA this weekend. That could be quite a good one. Because if USA wins that, then they go through. I mean, obviously, I say USA. Like, these aren't... Like, all of these oaks have come from England, India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, West Indies. Like, it's another cool thing to watch is that you've got all these, like, mixed-match nations coming into teams like Canada and India. Mm-hmm. But they're bringing cricket to that country, which is the most important thing. So, yeah, and then another group B, Oz are going to go through. Scotland are going to hammer it out with England. So, yeah, not a lot to report in the ICC T20 right now.
Okay.
Super 8 comes, that's when the big stories come, and that's when it gets really, really exciting. So, the Euros, okay? Now, the Euros are... Well, many people might actually say they're as good as the World Cup outside of without Argentina.
Okay.
Because all the best European teams are there. It's the World Cup kind of format. It's brilliant. Right. No disrespect to African teams, but they don't exactly challenge for the trophy and neither really do the Asians. The Japanese are plucky and the Aussies come in every now and again with Croatians and green cards. So today, Germany versus Scotland, that'll be your first game. Germany, of course, being the home team. It's the big send-off.
And green cards. You just slipped that in there.
Well, I mean, like, this is what Australia used to do back when they were, like, I don't know, ambitious. They would go, none of you blokes can play football. You want to play Aussie rules or crickets or dogs or whatever. And then they go, well, those Europeans over there, they got a shit life. Bring them in here. And then your entire team is like, dig a ditch, send a bitch, Filosevic. And then that's now the Aussie team.
Oh, you were giving the surnames.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about what they did in their spare time.
No, because they're all basically from like those kind of countries.
Right.
Yeah. Go back in history. I promise you, I'm not making this up.
No, you're right.
All right. So Germany versus Scotland. Toni Kroos's big farewell. He had the farewell for Real Madrid. It's now going to be his national farewell. I don't know if that's going to be enough to really galvanize this team. It's not going to be their best German side that we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Hungary versus Switzerland, that's tomorrow. And then we've got Spain versus Croatia tomorrow. Spain, of course, not the talents you might have thought. They're quite young.
Mm-hmm.
Croatia basically have that Luka Modric.
Mm.
And they try to play around him a bit. Italy, Albania tomorrow as well. And then Poland, Netherlands, Slovenia, Denmark, and Serbia, England. Now, I'm finishing off with England there because they're actually tournament favorites.
Really?
Yeah. Well, look, on paper, this is the thing. Like, England are kind of like the Proteas when it comes to that. There's always so much hope, and then they get into these tournaments. They've never won the Euros, ever. And the last time they won the World Cup was, what, 1960?
I mean, English football fans get excited. They always think, it's finally out. Well, hang on, I went Australian there for a second. Finally going to be our turn. Come on, England. Come on, England. And they always bugger it up.
They always bugger it
always.
Up. But, like, so... This is where I will back them up, right? They've had Gareth Southgate as the manager now for quite some time. Mm-hmm. He took a bunch of youngsters and he kind of brought them through. So if you go back to other greats in football like Sir Alex Ferguson, mm-hmm. what he did was that he had a bunch of youngsters and he brought them through, okay? So there was continuity, mm-hmm. there was momentum, there was belief, and there was the experience. So,
and he threw stuff at David Beckham.
And he did. So I don't know who Southgate's throwing stuff at. Maybe it's Jude Bellingham. Maybe it's Harry Kane. Maybe he should throw something.
Yeah.
Again, let's not knock violence until we really have seen all the options.
Yeah.
So that's what your opening weekend of the Euros is going to be. Of course, if you go to Superbets, you can still get pretty good odds on outright wins. Now, the great thing about betting on an outright win with them is that then you're invested. I mean, obviously, you don't bet on Serbia or, you know... Ukraine, because I don't think Ukraine have had a really great run into this tournament.
No, I mean, all their best men are on the fighting front.
Pretty much.
These are like the guys who said, no, I've got a condition, I can't go to the front.
Yeah, or like Euros 24 coming up.
Apparently it's so bad there at the moment that, like, if you are older than 16 and you're just wondering, you go and buy a packet of smokes for your parents in Kiev, they just like load you in a car and take you to an army base.
Wow.
Oh, so yeah. I don't know where they got a team to play in the Euros, but
well,
okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, like they do. So
they've got an actor for a president, so who knows?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say bet on those teams, but I mean, maybe it is time for England. Maybe. I don't know.
It's coming home.
France.
It's coming home.
I mean, like, see, that's the thing. Maybe this is why they never win, because everybody outside of England hates these people. And there's all this, like, baggage karma that nobody wants them to raise a trophy.
Right.
They were in the finals at last Euros. Remember the last Euros?
Mm-hmm.
It was just outside of lockdown, right? And everyone lost their minds. I just remember one of my funniest moments of sport was watching Djokovic at Wimbledon, all in white, pristine, civilized, wonderful performance. He gets the trophy. He goes to that little house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they cut to the England fans. The one guy was snorting coke off some guy's crack. But it was like...
People were turning
they
cars
are, they're very
over.
Yeah.
They'd been in lockdown for these years. This was the first time they could go outside and be proper limeys.
Football hooligans.
And they did. And they just turned it upside down. And then people broke into the stadium.
Then
ultimately England lost on penalties. It was the most dramatic day of sport.
Yeah, you had people throwing themselves off the terraces.
Yeah. So this is the thing about European football and these kind of things, that even if you aren't into football and you're not the biggest football fan, there is so much hiss around all of this. So hosted in Germany, England are going to be your favorites. Don't discredit France. And okay. Italy are defending champions. Again, no one's giving them a chance, but like, maybe that's the dark horse.
I would say this is one of those fun things where if you really hate England and that whole it's coming home thing, then you take a bet so that whatever happens, if they lose, you can take personal gratification in their misery. But if they win, you can have money.
That's very smart, Gareth. It's a real hot take. I think I'll have no more calls today on the show after that one.
Okay.
All right.
Gareth will then, we can cut that piece right there.
But if you do want to make a call, you can head along to Superbets, their website. You can find all the information. You can actually find it on the Real Network too. And don't forget that whatever you do there, if you were watching the sports show yesterday, there was a nice little bonus that they threw in.
Mm-hmm. If you're a first time, bonus, actually.
Massive bonus if you were watching the sports show. So
can we finish on that?
You might want to go and check out yesterday's sports show if you haven't seen it yet, just so that you can get in on the Superbets bonus.
Yeah, just use the promo code OTB.
But we'll get on the bounce.
We'll get to that in a sec. I just want to quickly throw in the golf and the rugby. So
yes.
US Open week. It's at Pinehurst number 2. Now, Pinehurst number 2 is basically America's version of St. Andrews. Okay. It is the home of American golf. It is incredible.
You said if you never get to play at Augusta, which you've pretty much leveled, you've got to the point where you realized you're never going to play there. But this would be the next best.
So another thing about Augusta, it's like that Instagram model that you can't help but look at the pictures, but it's not actually that real. Augusta looks like that for a few weeks of the year. Mm. And a lot of the time it's just closed. And they just touch it up, and Augusta's a... It's like the Witbank of Georgia.
Oh, really?
It's not a great town. It's
really?
A pretty shit place.
Oh.
But Pinehurst has 10 golf courses. It's its own village of golf and richness.
Where is it?
It's North Carolina.
Damn.
This place, go look at the aerial shots of this place. Wow. Okay, so Pinehurst number 2 is like the storied one. It's an incredible creation. It's beautiful. Like if you're a person who doesn't watch golf, you'll watch this and go, geez, this place is so scruffy. Because it's fairway and then it's native sand grass area. So it's like the Cape Flats, basically. Which is quite cool having such a dangerous contrast because it's a dangerous tournament score-wise.
Okay.
You can lose your shit here very, very quickly. Patrick Cantlay, on the other hand, well, he had a great round. Now, no one likes this oak. He's like the villain of golf, but there he is at the top. And Rory McIlroy, what a few weeks he's had. He basically kicked his chicken to the curb, said, that's it, getting divorced.
Uh-huh.
This week, he's now reconciled. He's cancelled the divorce papers. He's remarried.
Oh.
And he's joined top of the leaderboard at -5.
Wow.
So is it McIlroy's turn? It's kind of like supporting England, just slightly nicer. The guy hasn't won a major in 10 years. I've got a horrible feeling that I've bet the wrong. So I put money on Scotty Scheffler because I think what he's doing right now is an amazing piece of work for golf. But he is now 6 back after round 1. He had a bit of a shaky start. McIlroy's -5. And I don't want to be one of those reactive kind of backers, but I think McIlroy is going to do it.
Okay.
It's either him or DeChambeau, because DeChambeau is just such an entertaining guy, so much confidence. I mean, he would have taken that crocodile in Australia by himself.
Right.
That guy's just living his life. He's so great. But also look out for Ludvig Åberg. I mean, I know he's so young and inexperienced, but he's got great stats for that kind of golf course. In the past, we'd always say, and in the South African prospects, but let's be honest, we go into these majors nowadays, and there's not a single South African that we ever bet on. Christian Pazedno, he's 7 back. He's our guy. He's our only guy that plays on the PGA Tour consistently.
Oh, no.
The rest of the Oaks are making big money.
It's the first time I've ever heard his name.
Yeah. Well, he's from Delmas, and he had rat poison as a child, so now he's got a speech impediment.
He's got a speech impediment?
Well, he had rat poison as a child by mistake.
By mistake?
Whoa. Wow.
Just I thought in Delmas, that's what they fed people.
Story for another day. Okay, finally, we're going to finish off with the rugby. Now, Bulls supporters, don't hate me. But I think it's going to be an all-Irish URC final next weekend.
Hmm.
Munster taking on Glasgow. That'll be the first game. Sorry.
Don't go to Pretoria this weekend.
Well, with that kind of attitude, no.
No.
So Munster are taking on Glasgow. I think Munster, top seeds, defending champs, great side. They've peaked at the right time this season. They're going to just go over the Scots. And then Leinster, with their full strength team, are going to come to Loftus. And the Bulls just don't have... I mean, last week was, for me, a great example. A Bulls team, a dominant Bulls team in the past, would have probably put 50 on a Benetton team. They won by 3 points. You've now got a full-strength Leinster team who didn't win the Investec Champions Cup, so they got no trophy this year. I mean, it's the Irish team. And Ireland's first game against South Africa will be at Loftus in July. I can't see anything outside of a full Irish URC final next weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great sporting weekend. There's no F1. Not that I know of. Sorry, I lost interest towards the end there.
No, not at all.
But that's it. Bumper sporting weekend.
It's perfect. You can go and try out your luck on Superbets. And if you like Ben's advice, some people have done very well on your advice over the last couple of weeks.
But we've got a really great deposit bonus. So your first deposit will be matched to 5,000 rand.
Wow.
So you put down 5,000 above, you'll get 5,000 back.
Nice.
And then
just use the promo code OTB. That's on the bounce and check
and
out.
You know what?
Show.
I'm not going to tell the whole story about that. There's more. But wait, there's more.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah, we don't want to say any more now. Otherwise, we will sound like a very mark.
Put your first deposit down, and I'm telling you what, that's not where the bonuses end.
Fantastic. So, look, Simpiwa's back in it.
Yeah.
She gave up on that for a while.
I just need to get 5,000.
Remember, guys.
Then you'll get another 5,000.
And remember, you're playing a bit of a long game here. Don't just suddenly go, I like the thought of that idea. $5,000, I'm putting it down. Red or black. You play a bit with sports, you know. This is the thing. Like,
don't you?
Superbet's got so many cool markets.
Like your gran would say, don't spend it all at once.
Yeah, have a bit of fun with it, you know. It's like, just throw a bit here and there so you can really get engaged.
Gives you the $5,000 pocket money, you know. And it's, don't spend it all at once. You're like, on what, a chappy?
Those are darker days.
Get for $5,000. Superbet supports responsible gambling like your gran. Strictly no under 18s, winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800 006 008. There you go. Comprehensive sport this morning with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty more. All right, we'll be back in just a moment. It's 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got a whole bunch more for you.